Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Well, we've been hearing this morning about the safety and well-being of children left at serious risk by mental health services in this country. The Mental Health Commission's interim report into the Child and Adolescent Mental Health Services identifies serious concerns in the care of children with mental health difficulties. And I'm joined now from our Waterford studio by Mary Butler, Minister of State at the Department of Health, with special responsibility for mental health. Minister Butler, good morning and thank you for joining us on the programme.
Good morning, Claire.
So we're in this situation this morning where the problems were so serious in CAMHS that the Mental Health Commission felt compelled to ring the alarm bell, really, with this interim report, calling the service unsafe, unacceptable and understaffed. In your view, is this service, which is for vulnerable children, let's remind ourselves, is it fit for purpose?
Following on from several meetings to discuss the Maskey report earlier in the year, which was 12 months ago, I asked the Mental Health Commission to expand the remit of their thematic report to take cognizance of the Maskey report, which had been published. Every year, the Mental Health Commission do a thematic report. You might remember last year, it was in relation to mental health in prisons. And I was pleased to provide the necessary resources to the Mental Health Commission to enable this comprehensive view to take place, because I was very concerned, like others, with what had transpired in Kerry South in relation to the findings of the Maskey report. And so what we have at the moment, Claire, is we have the Mental Health Commission doing a full review of CAMHS, and in parallel we have the HSE doing a full audit of CAMHS as well.
So you've gone from being very concerned when you heard about South Kerry to what today?
Well, obviously, we have seen today that there are significant deficits and we have seen the findings are very, very concerning and they raise significant risks. And that is why we have had ongoing extensive engagement between my department, the HSE and the Commission regarding the findings of the interim report. And this continues to take place.
OK, so going back to my first question, is the service fit for purpose?
Well, Claire, there's not a straightforward answer to that. And what I would like to say is today there are 73 CAMHS teams, the length and breadth of the country. 20,000 children throughout Ireland are receiving supports from CAMHS. There's 225,000 appointments on a yearly basis. And in fairness to the report, it did say that CAMHS staff work extremely hard to try to provide a good CAMHS service. We are aware many young people and their families have received excellent care and treatment, and many teams were innovative in trying to mitigate the risk posed by the lack of staff.
And Damien McCallion said all that this morning on Morning Ireland from the HSE. But whose side are you on? Because the report says that the HSE is responsible for a lack of governance in many areas.
Claire, this is not about sides. This is about providing a really good...
Sorry, you represent the people here. And the HSE have let this slide so that this is now, as Shane Phelan puts it in the Irish Independent, a national crisis, a national scandal. Children with mental health issues are being routinely failed.
So, Claire, again, I'll go back to the point that this is not about sides, and I don't want to scaremonger, right? Notwithstanding the significant risks that I have read in this report several times since I received it a couple of weeks ago, and I met with the Mental Health Commission as well. But the point I'm saying today is there are 20,000 children throughout the length and breadth of Ireland receiving supports. Some of them are sitting in waiting rooms now, maybe listening to this recording. And I just think it's very, very important that we put a little bit of balance on it. When the risks were escalated to the HSE before Christmas, each and every one of them were acted on. However, I am still very, very concerned in relation to governance. I'm still very concerned in relation to the fact that there is not an IT system, a comprehensive IT system in place. It's only in one of the five CHOs that were audited recently. But we still have to continue to provide a good service to young people who need it.
But that can't happen. If you have 50% fewer staff than you need and there's no specific budget and you have files with loose pages, disordered, incomplete, no logic, how can a good service be provided?
There is a specific budget for CAMHS. 125 million has been provided this year for CAMHS. As I said, we have 73 teams. We will have a further 74 team coming into Wexford during the year. So we're constantly trying to build. But Claire, I am really, really concerned about the findings in the report, and I want to thank Dr. Susan Finn. But the reason why I instigated both and asked the CAMHS team to expand, asked the Mental Health Commission to expand their remit, and the reason why I asked the mental, the HSE to put in place reports was to give us the real-time data so we can act. We've never had this real-time data before. We've never had this type of an audit or a review. And what I will be doing is we will have a comprehensive review from the Mental Health Commission, which will be finished very, very soon. And we will also have all the data from the independent evaluation overseen by Dr. Colette Halpin from the HSE. And then we will have to sit down and decide what's the best way forward to make sure that children receive the correct supports they need when they're in the care of child and adolescent mental health services.
The interim review, Dr. Finity, found that in some cases, prescriptions were renewed without a documented review of the patient for up to 2 years. Now, we're not just talking about benign medications here. We're talking about medications that can have severe and profound side effects. How concerned are you about that?
I'm very concerned in relation to that aspect of the report. Obviously, when we had the report from Dr. Maskey in Kerry last year, he raised the concern that there was significant harm caused to 46 children in relation to medication. And that was the reason I asked for these reviews and audits to be taken account of all 73 teams across the country. And obviously, I have spoken to the HSE at length in relation to this, and they have reassured me that every one of these cases will be assessed, and a focus will be put on them, because obviously any concerns that were raised by the Mental Health Commission have been acted on. But I do think we have to look at it in the round. There are still a huge amount of children receiving very adequate and really good care from CAMHS.
Yeah, and we know that some of the families that Dr. Finity spoke to said that once they're off the waiting list and in the system, that some of those she spoke to were very grateful for the care that they're receiving. And we know the clinical staff who are working there are doing their very best, but they're down, as I said earlier, 50% on the numbers that they should have. But then we hear about the distressed families of children who are watching those children deteriorate on the long waiting list, or they've been discharged from the system because they didn't want their children to have ADHD medication. We have a family, Barry Lenehan told us about this earlier, spending €90 a week on a round trip of 3 hours trying to find a private occupational therapist who'll see them. What do you say to those families who are in that situation this morning?
So over the last, I suppose since COVID, 2020, 2021, we've seen an increase of 33% of referrals to CAMHS. And also we have seen that CAMHS teams have seen 21% more children and young people than they would have seen previously. Now, currently in collaboration with the local CAMHS system, the local CAMHS services, a waiting list initiative is underway in 6 CHO areas. So in May of last year, €1 million was provided for phase one in CHOs 1, 2 and 7, and €1.2 million was provided in June for CHOs 6, 8 and 9. I am trying to tackle the waiting list deficit. It is very, very concerning for parents when they're told they'll have to wait 3, 6 or 9 months. But just to be very clear, Claire, when a child presents very seriously ill to CAMHS, there is an intervention within 72 hours in 93% of cases. And I think this is really important. Mm-hmm. So this is a really sick child. But we are seeing more and more children presenting with very complex cases. I recently visited a CAMHS team in Dundalk. They were in new premises. And I spoke to a young person there who had just been who had just finished up with CAMHS after 4 years, and she had 96 appointments. She was seen every 2 weeks for 4 years. So some of the cases can be very complex and they need a huge amount of support.
And in some cases it depends on where you live as to whether you'll be accepted by CAMHS or not.
Yes, that is one of the issues I find strange. I'm not a clinical person myself, but I noted in the report that depending on your referral, that in some cases it can be as low as 38% that are referred, that are meet the criteria. But I do want to say in relation to staffing, Kate, Claire, sorry, 64% nationally is the staffing we have in CAMHS teams. And this is this is from the recommendation in 2006, A Vision for Change. Our new mental health policy, Sharing the Vision, takes a different approach, putting the you know, the service user front and centre, so there's no specific guidelines there in relation to Teams. It takes approximately 12 to 18 months to put a multidisciplinary team in place with your consultant psychiatrist, your psychologist, you know, all the different, your clinical nurse manager, your social worker, dietitians, occupational therapy. And it is really important that the teams are fully staffed. But when the review and the audits are completed, I will have that real-time data showing exactly where teams are staffed appropriately and where they're not.
Dr. Finnerty says that, and you refer to this as well, the referral acceptance rate of 38% in some areas. So you referred to CAMHS, 38% of those referrals are accepted in some parts of the country. And she said this leads to a vicious cycle of poor service and a postcode lottery for the children and their families in the treatment that they receive. Do you agree with that?
I spoke to a consultant psychiatrist last week to actually tease out this exact issue as to what's the determination whether a child should receive the support of CAMHS. And as I've said, it's 2% of all children will need the support of CAMHS at the moment. And what the consultant psychiatrist said to me was the multidisciplinary team would make that decision. The child would be assessed by more than one of the multidisciplinary team, and it would be a team decision. And obviously, you know, it is a concern in relation to the fact that it can vary very much, as low as 40% up to 70 or 80% mm-hmm. in other areas. And that is something that would be a concern for me, because I often hear from parents myself that feel that their child meets the criteria but they're not accepted. Again, this is a clinical decision, and this decision, you know, is not something that I'm able to challenge per se.
What, how do you feel about this telepsychiatry? A consultant psychiatrist based in Dubai, in the example that we know about, treating children here for 23 and a half hours. Do you agree with that model?
I do, actually, because I think we have no choice. The HSE is determined to fully utilise any opportunities offered by telehealth. And it was one of the key recommendations by the Maskey report last year that we would have to, you know, think outside the box. Telemedicine is recognised as part of healthcare in many areas of the world, including America, Canada, Australia. However, just to be very, very clear, when a young child, you know, is receiving supports online, there is a member of the multidisciplinary team, whether it's the social worker, whether it's the clinical nurse specialist, sitting beside that child when they're receiving their supports online. But I do believe myself, for the initial intervention, I think face-to-face will always be more appropriate for the initial intervention.
Well, the report says
the child has been diagnosed.
The safety and effectiveness of telepsychiatry needs to be assessed in this country. Do you agree with that?
Well, again, I go back to the point that telemedicine is new. It has worked very well in lots of countries. And any time a child is receiving the supports in relation to telemedicine, there is a member of the multidisciplinary team with that child while they are having this intervention. And, you know, during COVID, Claire, a lot of our supports in relation to mental health moved online because we had no alternative. And, you know, I do believe it's an area that we have to explore. We are, you know, we have three telehubs in relation to CAMHS now currently, and we've one up in Galway and Roscommon, and we have funding in place to provide more. Because young people, you know, they approach online supports very, very well. They're a new generation, they're a new era, and online supports are part of what they're used to.
And what's going to happen now? Because we know that this urgent clinical review has been ordered of all open cases, but what should happen next?
So there's 168 open cases that were identified. Now, 140 of them were in HSE Midwest Community Healthcare, and they had identified their 140 open cases back in March of last year. And even before the audit by the Mental Health Commission had started, or the review, they had put in place the appropriate supports, and all 140 cases were appropriately dealt with, and they were closed off where appropriate, and children and young people were invited to have an intervention if it was necessary.
Okay. And what else do you feel needs to happen off the back of this? I mean, do you feel now that there needs to be a nationwide review of the CAMHS service?
Well, I think what we have to wait for now is There's currently a full audit and a full review taking place independently by the HSE and another one by the Mental Health Commission running in parallel. By the end of quarter one of this year, I will have a lot of that data to be presented to me. And obviously, when we have all that data, it will be very, very important to sit down and determine, the best way forward. There are 761 whole-time equivalents currently working in CAMHS. Currently, we're in recruitment of another 411 mental health personnel, 50 again are for CAMHS. But we do have a growing population, and we added one team last year up in Donegal. As I said, we're adding another team in Wexford. But one of my main concerns, Claire, I do have to say, are the governance issues are coming up the whole time. There are standard operation procedures in relation to CAMHS. There are best practice and guidelines, and that's one part of the audit which the HSE are conducting that I will be keeping a very special eye on. Because every child and their parents wants to know that the supports they are receiving from CAMHS are the best supports possibly for them. And today, I suppose, the significant deficits we have heard in some areas are very concerning. And again, I'll go back to the lack of governance, the little bit of, I find it hard to believe, actually, in 2023 that several of the CHOs would still be working off a paper-based filing system.
And that seems to be at the base of quite a few of the problems. I just want to move on to a couple of other issues, Minister. The INMO, the Irish Nurses and Midwives Organisation, just this morning calling for a full security audit now of all hospitals. And this follows the tragic death of Matthew Healy at Mercy University Hospital in Cork at the weekend. Do you think that this is something that your colleague Stephen Donnelly should prioritise? The last one was carried out in 2016.
I think a security audit is that the INMO have called for. I think we certainly will have to look at that. My deepest condolences to that gentleman and his family that died yesterday, 89 years of age, in hospital for his own care and well-being. And, it's just absolutely the most awful news that you could have waken up to. And I do believe it's very, very important that, all acute hospitals and all long-term residential care facilities, that people can feel that when they go into one of these facilities, that they are safe.
Okay, and the other issue I wanted to ask you about was a story in yesterday's Sunday Independent. You were mentioned in relation to transgender services, and the paper was trying to establish if you were promoting the use of a service called Gender GP, which is an alternative to state-provided, which you suggested apparently would be an alternative to state-provided care for Irish patients. Did you promote the use of Gender GP? Because we know that the National Gender Service here in Ireland said that this Gender GP service is unregulated and unsafe.
Thank you, Claire, for asking that question. At the meeting, I raised the point that there are very little supports for young people under 18 in Ireland with gender dysphoria, and that the extensive waiting list at the National Gender Services in St. Columbkill's Hospital is now 3.5 to 4 years long. And as a result, many people feel that they had no option but to access supports under Gender GP. At no stage did I advocate for Gender GP. I simply relayed the information I had been provided with, that an estimated 900 young people and adults in Ireland have accessed Gender GP services due to a lack of supports here in Ireland.
Okay, because the confusion arose when the Gender Service minutes, their minutes of that meeting that you had in August, said that you did promote it. Then when the formal minutes from the Department of Health were published, they didn't include that note in the final draft.
The minutes from the Department of Health, I did not write or see the reference meeting minutes, nor did I request any change at any stage. And no, I did not promote it. I just stated the facts that many young people are being forced to avail of supports from Gender GP because of the lack of supports here in Ireland in relation to transgender young people.
Mary Butler, Minister for Mental Health, thank you for joining us on the programme. Back after this break.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.